So priorities. What are your priorities in life? How many different sets of priorities do you have? Do you have one set that you use at work, another at home, and another when you're with your friends? Do your priorities sometimes clash with each other? If you're like me, that is sometimes the case. In the gospel today, Jesus makes a strong statement about priorities. Today's passage is part of Jesus' ministry in Judea and Jerusalem. Throughout his time in that region, Jesus has been questioned and challenged repeatedly by the Sadducees and the Pharisees. In the passage immediately preceding today's, the Sadducees tried to trap Jesus with a question concerning marriage and the resurrection. Jesus amazed and astonished them with his teaching. But in today's gospel, the Pharisees, essentially like lawyers, noting that Jesus had effectively silenced the Sadducees with his teaching, attempted to test him with a very hard question. It is noteworthy that Matthew uses the same Greek word here, to test, as when describing Jesus' earlier confrontation with Satan in the desert. Clearly, he wants us to understand that those who test Jesus are in league with, or at least unwittingly doing, the work of Satan. A scholar of the law asked him, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" This was no light question. In the Torah, or Jewish law, the rabbis counted a total of 613 commandments, 248 positive, "you shall," and 365 negative, "you shall not." The 613 commandments were subdivided into light and grave infractions of the law. How could it be possible to keep up with all of that? Our Lord's questioner was concerned only with the greatest of all commandments. Jesus answered the scholar of the law by saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment." This commandment is a quotation from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, the Hebrew Shema, which literally means "hear you," a classical declaration of faith. This commandment would have been very familiar to the Pharisees because pious Jews recited the Shema several times a day. Then Jesus adds, "The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself," which is from Leviticus 19, verse 18. The commandment to love your neighbor is on the same level as loving God. So in linking these two positive commandments, Jesus' summary statement of the law is perfectly traditional and orthodox. What he said was not news to the Pharisees, but the combination of these two commandments was. Jesus' commands to love God and to love your neighbor provided a coherent principle for appreciating and observing the other commandments. The first commandment prepares the way for the second, and the first commandment is proved by the second. Jesus is unwilling to separate the two commandments. Love of God and love of neighbor are like parent and child. In reality, love of neighbor is an overflow of the love of God. Everything in the church, the sacraments, the liturgy, the various types of prayer, the spiritual and corporal works of mercy, the witness of the saints, fasting, is designed to waken within us the love of God and the love of our neighbor. Jesus says that the whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. It is the be-all and end-all of the spiritual life. In 1 John, we can read, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love." These commandments are true because God is love. To have love in us is to have God in us. It's as simple as that. Priorities. So what then are your priorities? What is the greatest commandment in your life? Our Lord tells us that love of God and love of neighbor should top all of our lists. If we participate in all that the church has to offer and do not have love, It amounts to just a huge waste of time. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." So what is love? Briefly, it is not primarily a feeling, although it is often accompanied by feelings. It is primarily an act of the will or a willing of the good of the other. We will to love God or our neighbor. Loving the Lord our God is to savor the infinite good that he is, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Loving our neighbor is to bring as much good to him or her as we can. These commandments should be the summit of our spiritual life. That should be our priority. So Jesus tells us that to ignore our neighbor in our embrace of God is self-defeating. The two are inseparable. St. John's epistle has it right. Sometimes it is much easier to love the God we don't see and ignore the brother or sister at our side. Some religions can do that. Ours cannot. So the two commandments are linked, joined at the hip, let us say. At our parish, we are blessed because we have the opportunity to participate in a type of worship that shows your deep love of God, the first commandment, and motivates you to fulfill the second commandment, loving our neighbor. Since March of 1994, we have enjoyed perpetual adoration here in our parish. Our adoration has been continuous for 27 and a half years, with the exception of the COVID interruption and an occasional storm. And I think that we as a parish have reaped the benefit of our perpetual adoration in the form of a deeper love for the Eucharist, increased personal devotion and holiness, and a number of vocations to the priesthood. Pope St. John Paul II wrote, "The church and the world have a great need for Eucharistic worship. Jesus awaits us in this sacrament of love. Let us not refuse the time to go to meet with him in adoration, in contemplation full of faith, and open to making amends for the serious offenses and crimes of the world. Let our adoration never cease," unquote. Currently, we have 311 adorers each week. This weekend, we're making it easy for you to sign up for a weekly holy hour of adoration. If you don't have an hour or desire a second hour, please sign up. You're welcome to sign up for any hour that is listed in the bulletin, but the most critical hours in need are Saturday, 10 p.m., Wednesday, 11 p.m., and Saturday at 2 p.m. Believing that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist is ultimately a gift of faith. Jesus praised us for having this faith when he said to St. Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen, but believed." Blessed are those who have not seen, but believed. For those of us who sometimes doubt or even flat out disbelieve, Jesus never gives up on us. He has given us Eucharistic miracles over the centuries to boost our faith. Perhaps you've seen the posters scattered around our parish that detail Eucharistic miracles over the years. I encourage you to find the posters and read them. Show the pictures to your children. Perhaps you've had a special experience with the Eucharist as well. 2 months ago, one of our homebound parishioners had quite a transformation after receiving the Blessed Sacrament. The Eucharistic minister came to her and saw her trembling and sobbing because of news of a deadly and inoperable brain tumor. 30 minutes later, after bringing communion to the others in the facility, she saw this woman again, smiling, talking, and laughing. She told our Eucharistic minister, "God is so good. He loves me, and he wants me to live." This woman went from despair to joy and filled with hope within 30 minutes of receiving her Holy Communion. The Eucharist is Jesus Christ, the living God, our Savior and our Lord. That's why our parish has perpetual adoration. So we can thank him in person, share our needs and ourselves with him, and draw grace and blessings upon our hearts, our families, and the world, which is in so desperate need of him. In our gospel today, Jesus has again reminded us to check our priorities by putting the love of God and our neighbor first in our lives. You have a chance today to make a statement about your priorities by signing up for an hour of adoration. Look for the table outside in the courtyard to get started. Watch and see how the Lord will transform your life as you adore him.